Welcome to the Outer Rim News Podcast for the week of January the 11th, 2018. It's a new year for the same old podcast with your hosts, Ashley Wilbanks, and straight from Savannah, straight out of Savannah, Austin Q. Gordy.
Yo.
Man, 2018, that's crazy.
It sure is crazy. It's crazy. It's like on December 31st, I went to bed and I woke up and it was like 2018.
18 years, man. We're into the new millennium. 18 years.
18 years for what now?
Like into the new millennium.
Oh, yeah.
Like I still remember Y2K. It's insane.
Yeah. And to make you even feel older, somebody posted something on Facebook the other day talking about, you know, if you want to feel old, remember Guns N' Roses formed 31 years ago. I was like, oh, God, 31 yeah. years ago. It's like Pac-Man debuted 42. I was like, what? Or whatever, you know, some odd number, 30-something. Like, jeez. God, I'm getting old.
When 900 years old, you reach, look as good you are not.
Yeah,
I don't even know how old I am, really. What, if I was born in 76, that means I'm 41, right? I think so. Gee whiz. I am so old. I'm so old. But you know what? I'm happy. I'm happy.
And that's good.
You know what? And he's bored to tears already.
You did it. It's your fault.
I know it. I started it. I was trying to get it out of the way so I wouldn't do it during the podcast, but oh well. So guess what I got today?
Ooh, what did you get today?
Yeah, I got something cool today. You know those, if you go into like GameStop or Barnes & Nobles or somewhere like that, they have these like cardboard pop Funko Pop display rack shelf things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a Star Wars one. The Last Jedi. Yep. Yep, it's got BB-8 on the side.
Already trying to get rid of it, huh?
Well, no, I actually bought it. It was on, there was one for sale on Amazon, like not put together. Mm-hmm. So for like $20, I was like, "Yeah, I'm getting that." And then, now I will say that I was very irritated because it didn't come with instructions, and I had to find them online, and the image was so small on my laptop that I was having trouble trying to put the thing together. So there might have been some anger and some stomping of fists. I mean, you know, hitting a fist on the floor.
Stomping a fist.
but finally got it put together and it looks pretty good. Also, I went to GameStop today and I picked up a Last Jedi cardboard display thingy that they had all kind of random stuff like Last Jedi watches and socks and things hanging on. So,
yeah, did they give it to you, or did they charge you? Or?
No, they just gave it to me. Sweet. It was a display thing, yeah. So I scored some major display room for my Star Wars collection.
Sweet.
Which was much needed. Now I need another shelf for the pops because they're getting out of control.
I'm telling you, I just need a new house. Like, the apartment is just not equipped for all this stuff. Like I just don't have room for it. So
yeah,
so much stuff sitting in a corner, a few corners.
Oh, I know how that is. I'm about to start charging admission to come like Rancho Ashley one.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like the East Coast Rancho.
Yeah. Oh gosh. And it's, you know, and I look at other people's collections online and I'm like, mine isn't even like near yours. What do you do with all this crap? You know, it's like, where do you store it? And then they have like these, you know, nice looking shelves with everything all neatly put in it. And I'm like, you people, you make me sick with your nice setups and your immaculate collections. And mine's just like thrown everywhere. Oh, well. Let's get into some Star Wars news for the week. How about that?
Sounds good.
Yep. You know, the last few episodes, we've been talking strictly about The Last Jedi, kind of doing our review thing of it. And we've kind of glossed over some news that broke a couple of weeks ago, which was our first look at Solo, a Star Wars story. And it came by way of some Russian licensing company, which gave us the merchandising logo for the movie, which you're going to start seeing on everything from toys to calendars to whatever. And this just happened to be on a calendar, I believe. But it gives us our first look at Alden Ehrenreich as Solo, and then Lando, Chewbacca, the new character named Kira. Is that right? Am I saying it right? Kira?
Let me see, and I can tell you.
She's played by, I wish I knew her name, the Game of Thrones Amelia girl. Clark? Yeah, Amelia Clark.
Yeah.
And I think it's Kira, but not K-I-R-A. It's like Q-U-I-R-A or something along those lines, I believe. And apparently she's a big deal because she's one of the main characters featured on the logo there. But the biggest reveal to me, not that I was, you know, interested in seeing what Han Solo is going to look like, but the biggest reveal was the Millennium Falcon. Not so much as like, oh, we get to see the Millennium Falcon again, but it looks a lot different than what we're used to seeing. What do you think there, Austin?
I mean, I really like it. I mean, it looks really cool, especially just seeing like a little, it's almost like an alternative, previs sketch of the Millennium Falcon. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the prong, like not having the two prongs and having it just like the pointed front is throwing me off a lot.
Well, here's my take. I don't know that this is what's going to happen. I'm just kind of guessing in my mind. I'm thinking that the two prongs could probably slide in and out.
I mean, they could, but then the only thing is, I guess the middle part would have to draw back or do something. I don't know. Like,
maybe it's like a transfer truck, and that's like the back end of it or something. You know, right. It grabs the big container. Mm-hmm. For stuff that they're, because it's a freighter.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I mean, it looks cool. I mean, I'd like to see in action, you know, see everything. Because, you know, I mean, that's one thing that people, especially if people are mad about it, which to be honest with you, I hadn't really seen any negative stuff. I've seen a lot of positive reactions to it. But people have always got to, they've got to understand that with the Star Wars movies, each one has to do something different, has to have something new. So you can't just see the same old stuff every time. So we couldn't see the same old Millennium Falcon. It had to be a little bit different, you know, to show that this is a new movie. This is another time. This is before it, you know, at all. So it's going to look different, you know, just that new concept. So of course we'll see that, and we'll have new Stormtrooper designs and things like that, you know, just to keep it fresh.
But, I've seen the opposite side of that. I've seen some people really complaining about it. Yeah, like, you know, Disney's destroying my childhood. A lot of that garbage. It's like, really? Come on. They're not destroying your childhood. You still have the Millennium Falcon from the first three movies. Right.
And we know it's going to become what we know. This is a prequel, you know, so it's.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's not like we're changing it to that. It's before. It's what it was prior to becoming the Millennium Falcon you know and love.
Right. Because think about it. I mean, you know, it also will make more sense because, you know, when, like on Hoth, you know, I mean, on Hoth, on Empire Strikes Back, when they go to Bespin, Lando, what's the, you know, the big thing he says to Han? He's like, hey, what did you do to my ship? So obviously it's got to be looking a lot different so than what he remembered it.
What'd you do to my ship? You took the middle out of it.
Yeah. Somebody took a big bite out of the front. What'd you do?
Oh. And not only that, but we got to see some a bunch of leaked Lego sets. And I think it's fair game to talk about those because they were leaked. Have you seen them all?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've seen them all. So it does, okay, so spoiler alert, it does kind of give away some of the things that might be happening in this film by the names of the Lego sets. But again, spoiler alert, we're going to talk a little bit about them. So it looks like from the Millennium Falcon set, Lego set, we're going to actually get to see the Kessel Run made right. in less than 12 parsecs because it's the Lego set is titled the Kessel Run Millennium Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of cool. What else did we get? We got some speeders. Let's see. I've got a bunch of pictures right here. Thanks to my pal Mike Smith. We got a speeder with Han, Kira, and a Carillion hound. I wonder if this movie is about a boy and his dog. And the dog is not Chewbacca, but a Carillion hound.
That's not funny. You don't take Chewie's place. That's just not,
okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't know what I was doing. Don't blame me.
I will quit.
Don't blame me. It looks like also we're getting some different looking stormtroopers, which, I mean, that's kind of a given now. You got a new Star Wars movie. I think you got to have some unique stormtrooper, if only he's seen for like 3 seconds, like in The Last Jedi with the First Order Executioner.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Then you have the Build-A-Figure Han Solo, which, I can do without those Build-A-Figures. I do have some in the collection, but they're not as fun to put together. Then you have some kind of new Imperial, it comes with Imperial TIE Fighter. So it looks like Han will be fighting the Empire somewhat in this film. Along with, looks like he's dressing up as an Imperial again. I wonder if that means he's trying to gain access to the Empire for some of his smuggling stuff. Or maybe he really is a part of the Imperial military.
And it looks like it could be like a sniper or a,
yeah.
I don't know. It definitely looks like a long rifle that he's using there.
I mean, in EU canon, wasn't he part of the wasn't he an Imperial cadet or something at one time?
So. Early, I mean, I think they kept that whole story, the backstory, by him coming from at least the Imperial Academy.
Yeah. So I mean, you know. It could be that they're taking some cues from that. I don't know.
And we also look like we're going to get a new planet, too, I guess. Mimban?
Yeah, I saw that.
They say there's a Mimban stormtrooper?
Yeah.
I guess I'm saying that right.
Yeah,
and also, I'm pretty interested in the whole, because I like the names, like Moloch and Rebolt. Yeah. Moloch reminds me of, what character does that remind me of? It was in The Force Awakens. But it was red, like the red-looking thing. I can't remember. It showed up in one of the young adult novels, too. It attacked Luke.
Huh.
But kind of reminds me of that. But Rebolt with the whip. But I can't tell. I guess that's is that a woman? Is that hair or is that a helmet?
Yeah, I can't really tell. That's a tough one to tell.
And Lando looking fly. Look at him.
Yeah, and is that a part in his hair? Do you see that in the
he's got
the
part.
Lego?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that looks pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I mean, disaster feeling I had about this movie going in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I am anticipating it now, but I mean, the anticipation's getting bigger as more stuff leaks.
Right.
You know, I was scared.
I felt a lot more at ease when Ron Howard was signed onto the project because I really dig Ron Howard. I mean, he's a good director and good person. Mm-hmm. I feel safe with him. So I feel like, you know, if there were any problems before, that he's, you know, he'll do his best to make it, to fix it, make it seem, you know, at least halfway entertaining. So I don't know. I feel more at ease now that he's been a part of it.
Yeah.
But it's still weird. It's so odd that we just got through. We just watched, like, I just watched Last Jedi this past weekend, and now we're about to have a new Star Wars movie in, you know, like 5 months.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Really? It is. But then you have to wait. When does episode 9 come out? Is it May or December?
As far as I know, it's going to be December.
So that's a long wait between Star Wars movies, especially right. when we're used to having one like once every 12 months, you know? Oh, well. But as far as the Han Solo movie goes, you know, they've started. The rumors are that they're doing some reshoots now. And as soon as that news hit the internet, people started freaking out. Oh, my God, this is horrible. You know, Ron Howard's destroyed it. They should have kept Chris Miller and Phil, whatever his name is, Phil Miller and Chris Lamar. What the crap is their names? Chris Lord, Phil Lord, and Chris Miller. Gee whiz. This has been a bad week. This has been a bad week. Anyway, people are complaining that the film is just going to be... This is just another example of why the film is going to be horrible. It's because they're undergoing reshoots. But you know what? From everything I've read, Ron Howard pretty much refilmed the entire thing anyway.
Right.
And this is just part of that process of after you go and put the movie together, you say, we need a little extra here. You know, we need a little extra here. We need to redo that. You know, it's just part of filmmaking.
Right. They've been real, you know, Lucasfilm is really hands-on with these movies. I mean, if they're not pleased, they're going to make changes. I mean, you know, there was all the rumors about Rogue One, and of course, you know, we were worried about that too, and that ended up being great. You know, it came out really good. So, I don't know. I mean, you know, my base fear is that, you know, it's like, do we even need a Han Solo movie? And so I'm just hoping that this movie will kind of clear that up. And so, yeah, of course you can do with a Han Solo movie. So,
yeah. My worst fear is not that do we need a Han Solo movie, but it's replacing Harrison Ford.
True.
Because he is so iconic. I mean, he is Han Solo. You know, when you say Han Solo, you expect to see Harrison Ford.
Exactly.
And when you say Han Solo now, it's going to be, can Alden Ehrenreich live up to that billing as Han Solo? Can he be Han Solo? Can he, you know, I don't want to say talk like Harrison Ford or mannerisms like Harrison Ford, because a lot of actors aren't going to do that. They're going to bring their own take to it. And that, that too worries me, that he tries to take it in a slightly different direction than what the character is. Because there's lots of things that Han Solo is, you know, he's a smuggler, but he's also the not comedian, but the point that, I mean, he there's always some comedy around him because of the way he acts. He's kind of suave, you know. Can Ehrenreich pull that off? I don't know. I mean, everything I've seen from Donald Glover looks, I mean, that's Lando. You know, when I look at him, that's Lando Calrissian. Just with a big part in his hair. And then Chewbacca looks different. I want him to explain that bandolier he has on, because it's not what he normally wears.
And it's like the double-crossed bandolier.
Yep, and if you remember in Revenge of the Sith, he had his regular old bandolier on.
Right.
So what happens there? Is he like put into slavery by the Empire, and then he escapes, and this is the bandolier he has, and then later on in the movie he finds his original one, swaps it out?
I don't know, or it could just be, you know, he just has to, he may have, he it may alternate, you know, like in the movie, because you remember I think the set photo, or like, it was like the first group photo they had with the original directors. I think he was just wearing the one bandolier.
Yeah, he did. Maybe that's like.
So I'm wondering if it'll just swap back and forth. And, you know, he just has to kind of alternate or like wear this other one he has because of a certain mission that they go on or whatever. It may not be something he'll always have throughout the whole movie.
Could be. Could be. Look at you, Austin, trying to put two and two together.
Listen, man, I just. And also, you know, speaking of however you say his name, Alden Ehrenreich.
Yeah. Yeah.
I watched that movie, Rules Don't Apply, that was directed by Warren Beatty. And he was really good in it, you know, and he kind of has that, you know, that roguish charm about him. He kind of, you know what I'm saying? I can start to see it a little bit. Like, I really hadn't seen him in many movies. So watching this, I kind of looked at his mannerisms and just tried to see if I could see any kind of like Harrison Ford in him. And, you know, I could sort of see it there, but I'm still going to have to see it, you know, see a trailer, you know, just see something because, you know, and plus, I mean, the movie itself, Rolls on Applause, it was okay. You know, it was good. You know, Warren Beatty was good in it, you know, all that. But yeah, I don't feel like I got enough of an idea. So I don't know. I can't wait for us to at least get a trailer. I'm hoping that comes soon. I mean, I know the rumor was Friday, but that ended up not happening. So,
yeah, but I mean, I hadn't seen anything. You know, usually when they put it on Good Morning America, they've got all kind of, you know, tomorrow, stay tuned for, you know, and I hadn't seen that.
Now watch, we'll just wake up in the morning and be like, oh, it's a surprise, you know, surprise trailer. And we're like, what? Like, you don't even tell people it's coming. Just boom, here it is.
You know, I'm trying to think of anything big coming out that the trailer would appear in on the Disney side of things, like ABC. I don't know that there's anything really, you know, big enough to warrant, you know, a movie like that to be debuted there. So unless they're just going to release it online one day, you know, just like stay tuned Friday at noon, you know, StarWars.com, the first official reveal. And then have it play in theaters in front of movies that day. I don't know. It seems like something like Solo, where you don't have total buy-in on it yet, that they would try to do something big for it. I don't know. That's just me. But,
right. I totally get it.
In other news, let's roll over to something that we are eagerly anticipating, and that is the return of Star Wars Rebels season 4. And it's kind of a double-edged sword here where you're waiting for it to return, but you know you've only got a handful of episodes left for the series before something new starts. And a couple of websites have started revealing episode descriptions for the first two episodes when it debuts, when it comes back from his hiatus. And it appears, if these rumors are correct, that it will come back February 24th. And I'm just going to read these off and we can talk about them. The first episode is episode 10, which is called Jedi Knight. And the description for it is the Ghost Crew infiltrates the Imperial headquarters on Lothal to save one of their own. And if you remember from the cliffhanging half-season ender episode, I think Hera got captured by Governor Price. Was that correct? Yeah.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, Hera got captured by Governor Price after her X-Wing crashed. And then the whole Rebels crew leaving the scene, going back to base, and Kanan just couldn't do it. Turned around on his speeder bike, says, hey, I got to go save her. Took off. And that's kind of where it ended. So what we do know is Kanan is going back to the main town there in Lothal to rescue Hera. And then here comes the second episode, episode 11, and it's called Doom. D-U-M-E, which is Kanan's real name, I think. Caleb Doom, is that right?
Caleb Doom, that's right.
Yeah. And description for this episode, and spoiler alert, if you don't want to know, don't listen. But the episode description is, reeling from a devastating loss, the Ghost Crew rallies together to find a new purpose and resolve. Now, I can only put two and two together here. The title of the episode is Doom, referring to Kanan, and they're reeling from a devastating loss. Do you think Kanan bites the big one right here?
I mean, I hate to say it, but that's what it seems like. I mean, when we have the episode before it called Jedi Night, as in you know, nighttime, and then Doom is the name. I don't know. It's Doom too. It's like doomed. I don't know. It's
yeah,
pretty much just shouting it at us that we're going to lose them. And I have, you know, I have some close friends that are really going to be upset if that's the case. But my thing is I expected it because. I hate to say it. It's just the fact that in this series, the Jedi, you know, especially around this time, they're supposed to be all but extinct. So when you've got two pretty high profile Jedi wreaking havoc through that little system there on Lothal and surrounding areas, it kind of, like we've talked about this in the past, I think, where we discussed how having these Jedi around, it still, if you don't watch it, it could take away from, you know, the whole Luke and Vader dilemma, you know, where Vader is part of the last, you know, Force users and Luke is the next generation or whatever, you know. I don't want it to take away from that power, but yeah, I mean, I just kind of expected that, you know, at least somebody like Kanan or Ezra were going to die, you know. I mean, I don't know. With it being a cartoon, I'm sure not everybody's going to die. We kind of we know that Hera is not going to die because she's showing up in other media. You know, she's been on Forces of Destiny. We know she survives to, like, Endor and things like that. So
Chopper. We saw Chopper in Rogue One.
Yeah.
We saw the ghost ship in Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go back and look at the description for Episode 1, it says the Ghost Crew infiltrates the Imperial headquarters. So I'm guessing everybody kind of turned around and went back with Kanan.
I guess so.
Even though we don't see that, you know, we probably see it at the beginning of the episode. So it might not necessarily be Kanan. Could be, you know, well, here's who we know we can die. Zeb can die. Kanan, Ezra, Sabine.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. And a lot of this depends on if we knew what was coming after Rebels. You know, what cartoon series that Dave Filoni has up his sleeve, because we know he's working on something, right? We just don't know what time period it is, and that might tell us a little more about, if we knew the time period, who's actually going to bite the big one here. If I were a betting man, I'd guess I'd say it was Kanan, but how many episodes are left? I don't know, maybe like eight or so. Six or eight episodes, I would think, you know, Kanan and Ezra especially would wait till next to last or the last episode to die.
I don't know, unless this is just their way of shifting the attention. Like, I guess, you know, it's all about Ezra. So maybe it's like this kind of propels them into the final act with, in terms of like Ezra's story and things like that. So I really don't know.
Yeah. You're right, because this is about Ezra more than anybody else, and so I guess we could say that Ezra will not die in this the first episode. I'm not counting him out totally.
Yeah, and then then it airs, and like that first episode when it ends, it's just Ezra gets stabbed in the face. Like, oh.
Disney be like, what? What did you do? You stabbed him in the face. You Kylo Ren'd him. You get that one? Oh, Kylo Ren'd him. Yeah. Okay. Golly. My jokes are just falling left and right here. Just on
dad
just flat
jokes.
But yeah, I'm sort of scared about what's going to happen in the next few episodes, because over these last four seasons, I have grown to kind of care about our Rebels crew. The first season was a little hard to really absorb or take you know, take hold of me full scale. But then the second season, third season, I'm all into Rebels now. And you really become accustomed to caring for these characters. And we know Hera and Chopper make it, but it's a coin flip for the other ones. I would, you know, I would almost bet Zeb is the one that dies because he's the least important to this whole story.
Yeah, you know? I'm still thinking it's probably Kanan.
Maybe. It'll be a shocker, you know, when it returns. I'm sure it'll be a shocker. We'll have to wait and see. So let's dive into a little review here. We've been talking about Canto Bite, this book that the new book that we both read. Well, you've finished it. I'm almost there. I'm a couple of chapters away from finishing it, so we won't spoil the very end of it. But we can at least give you a little feedback on whether it's worth the buy or not. So that's what we want to do today. We want to tell you all about Canto Bite. Now, the book is kind of broken up into four little small stories, all about this new casino kind of or this little city on Cantonica that you see in The Last Jedi. And one thing that really helps that I've discovered, if you have the Star Wars The Last Jedi visual dictionary, it helps a lot, especially if you're doing the audiobook. I have no reference for how some of these people look, but if you have that Last Jedi visual dictionary, it shows some of the people that the book talks about, and you get to kind of put a face to a name. Now, Austin, you were saying something about the actual book has some images or something?
Yeah, actually. Well, the I don't know. I want to say it's just the Barnes & Noble version. That's the one I got. It came with some color photos in the middle, like, you know, a lot of movie tie-ins do. And it just shows the characters that they discuss in the book.
So the book is broken down into four different stories, four different authors. And let's get the names of some of these authors. Some of these authors, I don't know that I've actually read anything Star Wars from these people. And I'm going to butcher this guy's name. Let me just try to, read it off here. Saladin Ahmed. Have you ever read anything Star Wars from him?
I think all these authors, or at least three of them, wrote, stories for the, From a Certain Point of View book.
Okay.
So that's the only way I knew. I think this guy wrote, I guess the guy, I'm sure he wrote in that, I think he did that series as well.
Okay. And he wrote the very first book of short story called Rules of the Game, which is, do you want to talk a little bit about Rules of the Game?
Yeah, pretty much it follows, the thing is I'm not sure if I even saw him in the movie. But I've seen a bunch of promotional photos, so I'm sure he popped up somewhere and I just missed him. But it's a character named Kedpin Shocklop, who's he's just basically nothing but a little short, pudgy, naked-looking alien with the single. He's got like a cyclops eye, just the single eye, you know. And he's just tiny, probably about the size of a Ewok or something. He almost looks like an Ewok with no hair. He's just short, pudgy, and just completely naked, and he apparently won an award at his job. He works for some sort of sales company.
I thought vacuum cleaners, you know, when I was reading about it.
Yeah, something like that. And he won salesperson of the year, so he won a trip to Canto Bite, and you just feel sorry for him the whole time because he's such a sweet little character, you know, but not very bright. And so it's like him, you're kind of seeing, you know, Cantonica from his point of view. And it's like, you know, he's trying to stay optimistic, but like he's constantly getting, he's getting, swindled. You know, they're taking his money. They steal his luggage and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And then he gets caught up in basically what was the, it was like a, one of the, it's like the other character, the criminal. What was his name? Was it Ang Lang?
Yeah, I can't remember. Talking about the bounty hunter guy?
Yeah, I think it was like Ang Lang Lahet.
Yeah.
You know, I guess he used to be like a hitman, like an assassin.
Yeah.
And he was out of the game or whatever, but they hired him, someone in the city, they basically hired him to pull off a job where he has to take out the, I guess he's like one of the officers of the police department named Brog.
Yeah, and, like the captain.
And yeah, so it's like he was going to use, he sees Kedpin Shacklop and kind of becomes friends with him so he could use him basically as a bomb, like a human bomb to just, you know, to take out Brog. So it's just like that little, you know, that little adventure, and you know, he kind of feels sorry for Kedpin and becomes, you know, like a, you know, they start to become friendly, you know, and stuff. So it's,
yeah,
it's basically like him, because I think this was like, I want to say that, you know, also Ang Lang, this was his, going to be like his last job. I think it was going to pay for him to be out of the business for good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so he throws all that away because, you know, he felt sorry for this alien, this new friend of his or whatever. So it's basically like them, what is it? They pretty much like get away from the game together or something like that. Cause he ends up, Shacklop ends up going to jail for him and all that kind of stuff. And then he gets him out and then they pretty much kind of go off on into Canto Bight together and become almost like partners.
Yeah. And Shacklop is like the nicest dude you'll ever come across. So he never gets mad. You know, he's always, you know, somebody could be selling him a bridge in San Francisco and he's thanking the guy, you know, this is great. I mean, these people around here are so nice, you know, but, kind of makes you feel sorry for the guy to me. I don't know.
Right. No, you know, you definitely feel so sorry for him, but by the end of it, it's just a sweet little story. It's like a little buddy. It's almost like a buddy cop kind of deal because, you know, the gang ends up coming after, Ang Lang trying to, you know, basically it's like he ended up, I guess, not doing the job. He didn't take out the police officer. So they're coming after him and, you know, little Kedpin gets in the middle of it, you know, and tries to help him, but they end up, I think, beating up and getting away from the gang. And then at the end, I think they had like a little bit of money that they bet on, some fathier races and they end up winning the race. And so he, you know, Kedpin like basically shared some of his winnings with him and stuff. So it was a real nice gesture. So I really that story was a really cool, like, cute little story between just two unlikely friends, I guess, you know.
Yeah. Then the next short story, I think, was by Mira Grant, and it was called The Wine and Dreams.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So this is where I almost put the book down completely.
Right.
This story, for whatever reason, maybe it was my mood or whatever, but I just, dude, I could not get into this. I can barely tell you what happened in this story.
It was a real simple story, but it was just real boring. I mean, there was nothing really going on that you cared about. I mean, you had, now this character, you know, she was also, you kind of shown in promotional images, was like an African American lady, you know, in a white dress, but she had like a really big head, you know, but it's like completely dressed in white. There was another one that looks almost exactly like her, but she's got like a weird looking face. That's a different character. That's actually, I think it's one of the same characters, right? In that same story, it was Durla, right? Yeah, is Durla Pitties. She's got like four eyes, like a weird looking, almost like a cockroach face, but the rest of her, you can tell it's an African American woman in a white dress playing her. And then it seems like it's almost a similar character playing Ubiala, but Ubiala's face is you know, more humanoid, but just has a really large head, large bald head.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Ubiala's like the owner of a club in Canto Bight. And, she's basically like, she rules over all this stuff going on in the club and all that. So there's, of course, shady stuff going on all the time. Durla is, like a wine. What is she, like a wine salesperson, would you say, or like somebody who kind of just is able to make connections with people who are looking for fine wines?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I really took from this was that she was like a wine connoisseur. She did, you know, because I think she had this ability where, you know, she could taste wine. And if I'm remembering correctly, because I don't remember much from the story because it's not my cup of tea, but maybe she could tell if it like certain species could drink this particular wine,
right?
You know, so yeah, she was a bit of a wine connoisseur and a purchaser for, I guess, Canto Bite, all the different clubs and stuff like that.
So she, you know, she's a wine connoisseur, and she also, I think she like basically sells it or, you know, arranges for clients to get a hold of it and stuff. And that's where you meet these, it's like these twins. They're like identical, and, but their dresses kind of connect together. They're almost like a friendship medallion. And when you stick them together, they're like double dragon, bing, yin and yang. But they're like these twins that they're like on another plane of existence almost. Like they have their own language they speak. They're like the Grammys twins. So yeah. I'm sure if people look them up, they'll say, yeah, okay, I remember seeing them in Canto Bite. But they're apparently, they have this special wine from their home world that's like highly sought after, and Ubiala wants it. So she, you know, she basically goes bonkers, like does everything she can to get a hold of this wine for her boss. Cause I guess her boss was basically like, get the wine or else, you know, and it's like really high end, like very rare wine or whatever.
Mm.
That's pretty much it. And that's the whole story. It's like them, you know, them making all that stuff, like all the plans, and them trying to get the wine from the twins.
And every time I think of the twins, I think of like Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I guess that could be why it turned me off too. It's just like, this is just blah, you know?
Yeah, it was.
I see this stuff on TV.
I mean, I hate to say that. I mean, the writing was good, so I'm sure the author has good stuff that's on her.
Yeah.
Discography, or you know, her bibliography or whatever, you know, on her catalog, I'm sure she's got other good stuff, but this story was just really stale and boring.
Yeah, and it could be due to the fact, you know, it could be what the publisher gives her. Say, hey, here's the characters, come up with something. This is what you're, you know, this is what we have to give to you. So she did the best with what she could.
Right.
So the next one is by Ray Carson, called Hear Nothing, See Nothing, Say Nothing. Mm-hmm. And this story is about a masseuse on Canto Bite named Lexor Suger. Is that right?
Lexor
Suger. And this, if you look at the visual dictionary, it looks like a female kind of alien, but it's actually a dude.
I thought it was a female, but yeah, definitely a dude.
Yeah, he looks almost Ithorian, but you know, that got the same manner of kind of a humpback with a head that kind of dips down and comes up, but it's just got a little small head on the end, long, super long fingers. And he has these little powers, I guess, in his fingers where he can, you know, and he can also smell different pheromones and stuff just emanating from people from different alien species, tell whether they're sad, happy, you know, stressed out, lying, whatever. And also he can, I don't know, did he actually like release something from his fingers or was it he, you know, I don't,
basically was it just it's almost like soothing vibrations or whatever, and it puts you at ease and you're more,
yeah,
I think, wasn't okay. It like you, they were more, like basically you were more open to suggestion, I guess, if he was able to get more information out of people if he needed to.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So he adopted a little kid, you know, back in a few years ago. I can't remember, Lula, I think was her name, but she's basically a stable girl at the five-year raises. I can't even talk. What are they called? Five-year?
Yeah, five-years.
Yeah. Yeah, father's at the racing stable, like you see in The Last Jedi. And the premise of this story is that Counselor Sturgana is pretty much trying to take over Canto Bight. And he's looking for people, you know, that are well-connected, that may have some inside info, kind of trying to put everybody in his pocket so that when the time comes, he can just take everything over in one fell swoop, and he will be the ruler of Canto Bight. Because Lexo Suger is like this premier masseuse in Canto Bight, he, you know, gets high price clientele, and they tell him stuff, and you know he's supposed to be one of these exactly like the story says, hear nothing, see nothing, say nothing kind of people. But that's exactly why Sturgana wants him, because he knows that people talk to him. And basically Sturg, you know, kidnaps Lula, and from there the story kind of, you know, goes into overdrive with Lexo doing what he can to try to find Lula and get her back and not have to bend to the wheel of Counselor Ghana. And in the end, he ultimately wins. He gets Lula back, but he kind of did the exact thing that he didn't want to do, and that is be under the thumb of some ruler like Ghana. He's actually under the thumb now of Ghana's biggest, his biggest rival, which was, I can't remember that person's name. It was a lady. You remember her name?
I honestly couldn't tell you. Yeah. But
actually I enjoyed this story more than any other one in the book so far that we've talked about. You know, the first story was, it was pretty cool. Now, I mean, it wasn't like mind blowing, but it was a decent read. But this third one, as in the beginning, it was another one of those, oh gosh, here we go, you know, selling wine again. Mm-hmm. And then it turned into something a lot better than I thought it was going to be. Right. And I really enjoyed it. And I was kind of, you know, as I was listening, I was like, oh gosh, I can't, you know, keep going. I don't want to stop it. You know, the place I'm traveling to, I want to keep listening to see what happens. So I thought it was a very good story, and probably almost worth the price of admission on this book, to be honest.
Yeah, it was definitely a good story. Like the first one was just, to me, it was the first one was kind of like a good introduction as to, like, I guess it was a good way to be the first story of the book, because it was almost like you're playing, you know, you're playing, what's his name, the little Kedpin Shacklot. So, yeah. You know, because you don't know this. We're not supposed to really know much about Canto Bight yet. So you're seeing it with, like, virgin eyes, you know, and you're like, oh, you know, it looks. And it's also just like how Finn looks at Canto Bight when he gets there on Last Jedi. You know, it's he's there and he's like, oh, you know, until Rose says, look deeper, you know, look closer. And then you see all the shadiness going on, you know, all the dark stuff.
Yeah.
So I really like how that was a cute little story to begin it all. But, you know, the second story, you know, kind of almost you just drop off from it. But, yeah, this third one was probably one of my favorites. Now, the fourth one was it the fourth one?
Yeah, The Ride.
Only by four, right, the whole time?
Yeah. The Ride by John Jackson Miller.
It's called The Ride. So, yeah, you have four stories, and the fourth one is actually written by John Jackson Miller, who's done, you know, like Kenobi and mm-hmm. It was kind of like The Rebels, A New Dawn. It was the, you know, the Rebels prequel.
Yeah, New Dawn.
Yeah, and I thought The Ride was really good. It's a real easy read because it's, you know, it's to me it's fast-paced.
Yes.
And it's I don't want to spoil it for you, because I know you said you haven't finished it yet, you haven't read it.
I can tell you where I'm at. I'm to the point where the three lucky people, mm-hmm. they just bought the father Kaljak or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Sonmi Kaljak. But they that's the thing is they the yeah this yeah, this story was really, really cool because I love how it's all taking place over a night, and you follow mm-hmm. that character, Kaljak Sonmi, is like a he basically is like, what would you say? He's like security or whatever. He kind of like goes into, he's supposed to play in the casinos and play, yeah, like basically gamble, yeah, and play like as if you're an actual patron, like you're an actual tourist or whatever, and playing, but he, I guess, looks after everything.
Yeah.
Make sure everybody's, you know, there's nobody cheating or anything like that.
Or maybe I missed that. I just assumed he was like a worker. Like, you know.
Yeah, he was some sort of worker like that, but he's supposed to, I thought, like, play in the casino and be like almost like another customer, but not really, you know. He's like looking out for the,
okay,
for the casinos or something, I don't know, something like that. But
yeah.
And they get to keep so much of their winnings, or they do something like that, some sort of arrangement. But, you know, he gets caught up with the, you know, Thotobin and Vermilion or something like that.
You're talking about the lucky three?
Triplets.
Huh? The winning three?
Yeah, the winning three. Maybe I got the third one. I know it was like Wotobin, Thotobin, and
Dotobin, I think.
Dotobin. That's it, Dotobin. And, yeah, you know, you get to follow them around because they're just like super lucky, and they know how to. And it's like, it's such a fun story. Like following, yeah, especially following those three around and how they just. They're just happy-go-lucky, and they're just gambling like crazy, and they'll win. You know, they'll win so much, and then lose it all. You know, just because they want to, just because they're, you know, they just want to keep on gambling. Then they'll just win it all back, and they have like a. It's like they have this system. They figured out how to successfully gamble and have a good time. So it's so funny watching them shake up Kedpin's
Kaljak
world, basically, like his, you know, so yeah. I thought this was a really, really, really good story.
Yeah. And I was going to say, this is another, I'm going to piggyback on you. This was another really, really good one that, even though I hadn't finished yet, I've got like 58 minutes left in it. And then it's just like, I'm waiting to get back in the car again, right, to finish this story out, because it is a really good one. I still hadn't figured. I'm trying to figure out if these winning three are they have secret force powers that we don't know about.
That's you know, exactly but, what I wondered. I'm like, God, you know, it's almost like they do have the force in some way because they know how to. I don't know. They just know how to call certain, you know, winnings. You know, it's like certain things. They just know. They just know when they're going to win, and it's like a formula to it. And even Kedpin actually. I mean, not Kedpin, Kaljak, kind of figures it out. That's one thing, is like he kind of watches them as they play, and it's like they don't cheat. They just, there's a certain way they go about doing things, and he knows, like he sees like how the patterns are. So that's always really cool.
Yep. All righty, man. I think that's going to wrap us up for this week. We are like hitting the hour mark already. Wow. Oh, I know. You're so sad. I know.
Now, I will say before we go, I just want to include, you know, we talked about Canto Bight, but there's another book I think people should check out. It's the young adult novel, The Last Jedi, Cobalt Squadron. Mm-hmm. And I just finished that too, and it's really, really good. So I'd recommend people checking it out. Kind of just plays as a good prequel, a lead into Last Jedi.
So I guess it talks about Paige more than we see her in the movie.
Yeah. It focuses on Rose and Paige.
Alrighty, well, that's going to wrap us up for the week. We only got to talk about Han Solo, Star Wars Rebels, and Canto Bight, but hey, you know, we can only fit what we can fit in an hour. So remember, check us out on AdarimNews.com, where you get the latest and greatest Star Wars news as it breaks. You want comic book news? You got Star Wars comic book news. You got it. Star Wars TV news? We got it. Star Wars movie news, it's there. Star Wars collecting news, we got it. OuterRimNews.com, check it out. And you can hit us up on our social media sites. We're at Outer Rim News on Twitter, at Outer Rim News on Instagram, and Facebook.com/OuterRimNews, where lots and lots of discussion going on every day in on our Facebook page. Lots and lots of discussion. So good discussion. We have a good group of a good community of users, except for the one we had to ban the other day.
And also, you know, Yeah, I know everybody loves him except for that one guy that had to get banned and all. we need to know this podcast is not endorsed at all or supported by Disney or Lucasfilm. It's all for entertainment. All the names and sounds we use, they're all copyright and registered trademarks of Disney and their respective copyright holders.
All righty. So that's going to do it. Before we go, any last thoughts, Austin?
I don't know. Just, people get out there and keep watching Last Jedi. Let's jump, boost the numbers up even more. I'm kind of sad that we're not hitting the numbers that Force Awakens made, but, it is what it is. Just everybody go see it. Go read the books, Visual Dictionary, Art of Last Jedi. Enjoy it.
Yeah. They haven't projected to take over Titanic's domestic total.
Good stuff.
On number three, before it ends its run. So yeah. Keep checking out The Last Jedi. Every time you watch it, it gets better. I promise you.
I second that.
Yep. All right. Well, that's going to do it this week. So may the Force be with you.